Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are you having fun yet on a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network? I certainly am. Mike Blewett certainly is. And we're here over the next 2 hours now to continue to break down all of that weekend NFL action and have a lot of fun doing it here. It's fantastic. All these sports colliding at once. But we got some work to do here because, as always on a Friday, even though we get 3 hours, it's condensed because we got to get all that information out to you. Let's take a look, Mike Blewett, and let's go to the South here. How about this? Atlanta and Tampa Bay. Who would have thought at this time of the year, a fight for first place between these two football teams and relative coin flip here. -2.5 we opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We still sit at a -2.5 price today. A total listed at 37.5. Ritter goes on the road to take on Mayfield, who last week we saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers struggle as they leveled up in competition against the Detroit Lions. What do we expect this weekend from Atlanta and Tampa Bay?
Well, pretty ugly total, right, of 37.5. I was saying during one of the breaks, folks, I've been auto-playing the Saints and the Falcons unders. Before last night, those bets were 11-1, fall to 11-2 with the Saints going over, who went over for the first time in 12 games. But Atlanta's right there with them. You could tell on draft night, and Warren Sharp and I talked about this on draft night, that Atlanta was building their team a certain way. Despite the fact that they have Kyle Pitts and Drake London, they're going to try to choke you out with the run and Bijan Robinson. Now, Ritter has had very up and down games. We call it a down game the other day, clearly. We've seen a little bit more explosivity out of London and Pitts, but this is still very heavy with touches with Bijan, and even Tyler Algier gets a lot of touches, Donnie. I think this is a situation where, because these teams are playing low-scoring games, and I know Atlanta has to go on the road here and try to pick up the win in Tampa, but I hated what I saw out of Baker Mayfield on Sunday. He missed from the start. They missed a wide-open Mike Evans touchdown pass on really the first play of the game. That gets picked and results in 3 points for the Lions. But there are multiple times he missed Trey Palmer. He missed Mike Evans again in the end zone. He missed Chris Godwin on passes. He was just regularly missing touchdown passes. Kudos to the Lions defense, obviously, for creating some of that pressure. And I don't know that the Falcons can replicate that. But I do feel like this is a spot where Atlanta can go on the road and get the W. I just failed to see. I get that the Bucs were 3-1. I'm just really struggling, I guess, with both offenses to see any kind of consistency. I do like the rushing attack of Atlanta, and I think I'll lean that way. But this one clearly will be a low-scoring, tight one. But this number, Donnie, is so low at 37.5. As you said, it kind of needs to be perfect for you to hit it.
So welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to the Early Line right here, Sirius XM channel 159 on a Football Friday. It's Mike, it's Donnie, and away we go here in this game against the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let me ask you this question here. We're not all that impressed by Desmond Ritter, and maybe you're looking for a quarterback of the future for the Atlanta Falcons as it's still up in the air. A lot of good quarterback prospects coming into the equation next year through the college football draft. Baker Mayfield and Desmond Ritter in this game. Look at these passing props here. 218.5 for Mayfield and Ritter at a 208.5. If I gave you one wager in this game, which quarterback are you taking to throw for more yards here, Mike?
Baker. I just think that it's not part of the game plan for Atlanta to do it. And in a low scoring game, I don't think they'll feel pressured in order to go that way. Drake London explosive play gets him there maybe, but I think Baker is much more likely to hit some big passes with Mike Evans or Godwin or Trey Palmer, as I mentioned earlier. As much as I didn't like what he did on Sunday, the opportunities were there for it to happen. If Baker just hits one of those, Donnie, he's practically halfway to that number on its own. So I would take Baker in that, given those two choices.
Yeah, you take a look at those numbers. Like, you're always in it, right? Unless you don't have a 32-yard, you know, passing first half, you're around 75 or 80 yards. You can sort of pencil in that 205, 218 in that range there for those two guys. Yeah. We'll watch it because one of those teams is 3-3, one is 3-2, and maybe you take the lead here. As we talked about earlier, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers currently in the lead at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the division. They could take a monster step there by beating the Atlanta Falcons in their own building. Let's go out to the Pacific Northwest. Arizona Cardinals, Seattle Seahawks lined up here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. -7.5 price for the Seattle Seahawks, a total 44.5, which does seem a little bit low. Now, there are some question marks coming into this game. We know Connor is not going to be there for Arizona, but also from a wide receiving perspective, you take a look at Lockett battling hamstring injuries, DK Metcalf, that rib core muscle injury that he's worried about as well. Maybe a banged up Seattle team. Are they ripe for an upset here? Is that line too high? What are you thinking about between the Cardinals and the Seahawks, Mike?
I'm going to continue to bet against the Cardinals in the way that I did last week and the week before. And it's that they do not score points in the second halves of these games. The other day they got blanked by the Rams. I was just laying 2.5 points with the Rams in the second half, and I took the Cardinals under 9.5 the other day. This week, it'll be Seahawks laying 3.5 in the second half, and the Cardinals second half total. Let me get it for you. The Cardinals second half total. Well, the Cardinals points overall, 17.5. I think that's something that you look to go under. And the second half, I'll get it for you right now, is 8.5. So it's come down a point, but they have not yet scored 9 points in the second half of any of their games. So I think you could match those up. I think you can parlay it. I did the other day, and I'll do that again. I'll bet the Seahawks laying 3.5 in the second half. I'll bet the Cardinals under 8.5, and I will parlay that as well.
Yeah, Cardinals were right in there with the Rams last week in the first half, taking that lead, but the second half completely collapsed. And that's what you expect out of Arizona at that point here. And also, a popular eliminator pick this weekend, certainly going to be the Seattle Seahawks as more than a touchdown favorite against Arizona. If we quickly take a look at these standings here in the NFC West, 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, and Cardinals. If we look at the odds to win that division, the 49ers, a -750 price. A game back here, the Seattle Seahawks at a +850. Is there any juice or value on the Seattle Seahawks at a +850, or is it, you know what, dodged a bullet for the 49ers with injuries? They should be fine. There's no way that I can bet the Seahawks. Any chances there for you in that NFC West outside of the 49ers?
I don't really see it. I mean, obviously the injury bug could get to the 49ers, and I've had some concerns about the usage rate of Christian McCaffrey. Now he finds himself on the sidelines. But think about how many things went wrong for the Niners on Sunday. And they missed the field goal by less than a yard. I mean, they barely missed that kick. And that is with a horrendous call to get the Browns going on that final drive. It is with losing McCaffrey, losing Trent Williams, losing Debo. Everything had to go wrong for them to barely miss a kick and lose that game on the road. So I have no panic about the 49ers outside of significant injury issues. I don't think that train's coming off the tracks. I still think they're the best team at football.
Yeah, two things we probably didn't think would be knocked from the unbeaten ranks last weekend was the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles in similar situations. Favorites by right around a touchdown or more going up against backup quarterbacks didn't work out. But that's the NFL. It's hard to win on the road, certainly in the NFL. We'll keep this train moving here. Coming up next, it's hard to win apparently in New England when over the past 25 years, it was an automatic victory. The Buffalo Bills, the New England Patriots on deck next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The March to Sunday continues right here on the Early Line, a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Mike Blewett and Donnie Wrightside here continuing that trend in New England. And as I tease before the break here, Mike, typically you'd see the Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots might be game of the week action here, but you know Bill Belichick's going to have something for any football team coming into Foxborough. Apparently not anymore. It's easy to go into Foxborough and blast the Patriots, apparently. But we are handicappers here. We're not in a pick'em contest. The Buffalo Bills are favored by 8.5 points on the road to take on the Patriots and a total that's listed at 40.5. I don't like anything of what I've seen out of the New England Patriots on offense here, but having said that, That's a lot of points for a division rival to go on the road. And if one thing we know about Bill Belichick, he knows how to make football games ugly. Just a few short years ago, on a Monday night football game where the New England Patriots came in against a high-octane Buffalo Bills with swirling winds, they barely threw the football and hung on for a victory. I'm not saying, Mike Blewett, they can do the same thing here, but I don't know if I want to lay 8.5 points with the Buffalo Bills. How about you?
I don't either, but it is worth noting that 6 of the last 7 at Gillette Stadium, they've covered. So, like you said, they got beat up historically by Tom Brady, but since Brady left, it's been ugly for New England. And they've looked as bad as any team in the entire league. Am I right? Mac taking a safety to basically end the game the other day, they're finding new and creative ways to lose. They've gotten shut out. They've lost because of a safety. Their win against the Jets seems more miraculous as the weeks go on because they didn't really do anything there offensively. So 8.5 is a lot. I think when we talk pick six later in the show, we're going to look for teams to tease. And I think the Bills are an ideal opportunity to bring a point total down in order to make it more manageable. But I'd ask back to you, do you have real concerns? The second clunker of the year for Josh Allen. He typically has 3 or even 4 of those a year, but we've gotten 2 in the first 6 weeks. I just thought the offense the other day was against a Giants team that isn't really that formidable. For them to just be as disjointed as they were was a concern.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills are 4-2, which is a solid record in the NFL. But maybe not for the Buffalo Bills, you expect to be Super Bowl contenders. Their offense scoring close to 29 points a game. Their defense only giving up 15. That's where you want to be. And the reason I'm bringing up these statistics, because I take a look at the New England Patriots and go like, is this an NFL football team? You're averaging 12 points per game. Feels like 12 yards per game, quite frankly, there on the way their offense does operate. But, you know, Bill O'Brien, Mike, coming back into the fold, you have a real offensive coordinator. Mac Jones isn't a rookie quarterback. Talk to me about what has gone wrong in New England on offense. Why are they this bad?
Well, they're scoring 6.5 points per game in the second halves of games. So that's part of this as well. They can't get anything done after halftime. I think the offensive line isn't good enough. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries as well. Cole Strange is out for a couple of games, or starting guard. So the offensive line isn't good enough. And to put Mac Jones in this position where these are his skill position players, it's kind of criminal. The Giants ownership talked about this a lot openly, that they felt they hadn't done a good enough job for Daniel Jones, and they finally got him some weapons, and he had a good year a season ago. I feel like they are now in year 3 of the Mac Jones experiment. What have you really given the guy? Last year, you didn't even have a true offensive coordinator. Now Bill O'Brien's there, and who's your top weapon? It's Kendrick Bourne. I mean, that says a lot. Kendrick Bourne's having a nice season, but it is Kendrick Bourne. He was a 3rd and 4th receiver on previous teams. Tyquan Thornton, a former first-round pick, he's been out, and we don't see anything from him. Devontae Parker, Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson, which people like going into the year to get a lot of touches. He's basically ceding carries to Zeke Elliott, who wasn't even good enough for the Dallas Cowboys to retain him. So you start to put together, Donnie, skill positional players, and you start comparing team to team, New England would be way, way down the list versus most of the other NFL teams.
Absolutely brutal on offense. We'll see how much longer the Bill Belichick regime goes on in New England if this season is a complete failure with a rebuild, which probably means a new quarterback and maybe Robert Kraft moves on to a new head coach, something to certainly keep an eye on. Let's take a look at this, 455, 456. That's Cleveland and Indianapolis, and an APB is out. Where is Deshaun Watson? Oh, he actually showed up to practice yesterday, but still trending in the wrong direction. Looks like another PJ Walker start. They're actually a -3-point favorite here on the road to take on the Colts. Give me a prognosis here for the Cleveland Browns and what you anticipate. And first and foremost, is Deshaun Watson, do you think, even going to show up on Sunday as the starting quarterback for the Browns?
I think it's the PJ Walker game again, Donnie. Yeah. The quotes that I'm reading from Deshaun Watson, it's not hard to believe, but you get what you get with Deshaun Watson. And I think he's just saying, I'll play when I'm good and ready, even though he's been medically cleared to play for at least 2 weeks. What I would say about this Browns team is good for them that they got highlighted on Sunday, because this defense is awesome. led by Myles Garrett. They have a lot of playmakers. They did make it. I know they knocked some guys out of the game, which obviously they had something to do with that. But they made it difficult for Brock Purdy, who had one first down in the first 28 minutes of the second half. They had 5 yards. Myles Garrett is certainly in the mix for Defensive Player of the Year. I think this defense is nasty, and being indoors and playing in Indianapolis might actually give them a little bit of an edge. I think they can make this game ugly, and as much faith as some people might have in Gardner Minshew, I do not have faith that he'll be protected. I think the Browns are the better football team, and I would say that right now I think the Browns are the best defense in football, along with a couple of other teams, the Jets, Philly, and San Francisco, when they're playing well. But right now I think the Browns are the best defense in the NFL. I think they're going to go on the road and get this W.
Yeah, Ben and I talked earlier about what's the best, you know, side of the football in the NFL, offense or defense. Offensively, we figured it was the Miami Dolphins, but defensively, right up there is the Cleveland Browns going toe-to-toe with the Miami Dolphins offense, as most dominant side of the football. I do think they win the game regardless of which quarterback hat is actually entered into there. I look at that 40.5 price point. I like the under. If P.J. Walker is going to be out there, the game plan for the Cleveland Browns is to rely on your defense running game, force the other team into mistakes. And if you are Indianapolis with Gardner Minshew, you're not saying like, hey, now's the time, let's get high flying. It's one of the best defenses in football here. I like that under 40.5. We'll see where that ends up here. Green Bay,
Donnie, one thing on that. Any combination of the four quarterbacks, Richardson, yeah, Minshew, Watson, Walker, I would pick the Browns. I think their defense is too good for the Colts to compete this week.
No, and I completely agree with that here. And it's certainly not a high-flying offense for the Colts that we're saying. Like, you know, if the Miami Dolphins were playing for Cleveland in a dome, like, hey, give them a pretty good chance here. I look for that Cleveland defense to certainly stick down there on the Indianapolis Colts as well. Two defenses that are, you know, not in the same category as Cleveland, that's for sure. Green Bay and Denver here. Love and Wilson. And how about this? A slight favorite here on the road here for the Green Bay Packers at a -1.5. A total listed at 45. Does Jordan Love finally get untracked in this football game against a bad defense, and is it just more of the same for the Denver Broncos, which just means typically bad football?
I think this is a low scoring affair. I think both offenses have struggled a lot. Denver is completely broken. I ironically have more, even though Denver is more broken, I have more concerns about Jordan Love and what he is going to look like going forward. The turnovers, Donnie, are just unacceptable, right? There's just a lot of turnovers out of him. Coming off the bye week, I think there's a chance that he can get right here and play a little bit better. I just think you were talking units, sides of the ball. This Denver defense is abysmal. They've traded guys away, released guys, and I just think this is an opportunity for Jordan Love and this Green Bay offense. Aaron Jones probably back in the mix, right? So I think we have an opportunity for the Green Bay offense to be a little bit better and just take advantage of that Denver defense. Going on the road in Denver, not an easy task typically, but Denver's really made it easy for their opposing teams this year.
Yeah, stability on Green Bay. You know that's the quarterback of the future. At least they're trying to do that. If you take a look at Russell Wilson in Denver, who even knows who's going to be on that football mic in 2 weeks at the trade deadline? So some guys looking to win football games, some guys looking to go to another organization. How about this one coming up next? The Baltimore Ravens and the Detroit Lions. We break it all down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All eyes on the Charm City this weekend, the Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, typically in the past, Mike Blewett, we would look at this game and go, yeah, of course the Ravens. Probably on the way to a division championship, maybe on the run to a possible Super Bowl here, and with an MVP quarterback, that's what you get. For the past 25 years, you take a look at Detroit, be like, oh, come on, man. This is a throwaway football game. Not the case here. Big wins in the Detroit Lions starting to become synonymous here. Are they one of the better teams in the NFC? We'll certainly find out, because another measuring stick is on the horizon. And you want to talk about getting respect for the Detroit Lions, it tells you right in the number. It sits at 3 here against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. A total that dropped from 45 as an opening number down to 42.5. I want to first ask you this question before we look at this football game. Talk to me about the Lions in the NFC. Are they a contender, Mike, in your eyes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think there's anything fake about this at all. the additions on defense that they've made, led by Aiden Hutchinson, have fixed a part of the team that was broken. Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, has Jared Goff playing at a Pro Bowl level. And they obviously have weapons that their offensive line is just a kick-ass unit, right? Taylor Decker, Penei Sewell, a bunch of guys up there that can road grade you. They lost David Montgomery. Craig Reynolds fills in. They have Jahmyr Gibbs that can step up and have a bigger role. This offense has scored over 20. This team has scored over 20 points every game since last November 6th. And they've won 13 of their last 16 regular season games. It is the greatest stretch, 16-game stretch for the Lions since 1962. They have not won 13 of 16 games. So there's nothing fake about it as far as I'm concerned, but this is a really worthy opponent. I think this game is fascinating. I think it's game of the week written all over it, and we can continue to break it down, but I expect points in this game as well.
Yeah, one of the tickets I took to start the season was the Baltimore Ravens here with a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl at an 18-1 price, at the FanDuel Sportsbook. They've been good, but also they have been injured. Now seeming like getting healthier here, that passing game should start to show up. I know a lot of us were watching that game early over in the UK against the Tennessee Titans going, what is wrong with the Ravens' red zone offense here? It used to be we get inside the 5-yard line, a couple read options, and it's a quick and easy touchdown. Now looking more like, okay, maybe more of a throwing football team with a brand new offensive coordinator coming into this season. But looking at the Ravens perspective overall, I expect them to win this football game. I like them much better today than I did 2 weeks ago, just saying that Odell Beckham Jr. is back at wide receiver. Mark Andrews is healthy in that offense. Also Bateman. You look at a lot of these players and Zay Flowers coming along as a rookie. There's a lot more weapons there. But let me ask you this question. The Ravens have always cut their teeth here with running the football and having multiple running backs here. Do we still trust that running game as a whole, or you say, you know what, Donnie? I really like the evolution of their pass game, and I think that's where they're going to win football games now.
I think certainly the latter, but we still see them holding on to some of their traditional play, particularly in the red zone. I was very frustrated last week by the number of Lamar runs in the red zone. They have Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers, two guys that can get open and make plays in that type of tight space. Flowers just has a way of getting open, and Andrews, you know, he's a beast in the red zone. We know that. So I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth for a second and say that I think right now, folks, there is an opportunity for you to bet in on the Ravens, Ravens team totals, and the Ravens offense to go up like a rocket ship simply because they've been so bad in the red zone, just absolutely terrible in the red zone. I think there'll be some positive regression there as they have been able to move the ball. It's been turnovers and red zone offense that have really been their bugaboos so far this year, Donnie. But I will say I do have some concerns about the ultimate upside of the Ravens, say in the playoffs, because I do not think that their offensive line play is exactly what it was in the past. Marshall Yanda, when Ronnie Stanley was at the top of his game, if you look at Ronnie Stanley's PFF grades lately, it doesn't really exhibit that he's one of the top tackles in the league anymore. So I have a little bit of concern about how good they can be long term, but I think this division is probably going to be in their control for most of the year. I like them to get the win here. I think this is a very high scoring game, and I think the Ravens pull it off. And I'm going to be looking to bet Ravens team totals here for the next few weeks.
Now, it's a good look by you. There is some windy conditions expected in Baltimore, but that's why it's not a 52.5. It's sitting at basically a 42.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. With some low numbers here, because I love Fridays here where a lot of these, you know, player props start to filter out. Lamar Jackson here, Mike, only sitting at a 216.5 price here for his passing yards prop, and I certainly would love that to the over here. So we're looking at totals. We're looking at overs here. I expect an awesome football game here, but also I'm leaning towards the Baltimore Ravens. Let me just do a big picture view here for you, Mike, and I want to get some answers from you on what you think could take place. If we look in the AFC, we have the Baltimore Ravens to win that conference at a plus 750 price. If we look in the NFC, the Detroit Lions, a plus 550 price to win that conference. If I give you a free bet now, who goes farther in the playoffs in your mind as it sits right now? The Detroit Lions or the Baltimore Ravens in the respective conferences?
Definitely the Lions would be my bet. There's less competition there. I think the Lions are clearly an elite team in the NFC, and the Ravens can be in the AFC, but there are way too many teams to try to dodge in the AFC. Miami, Buffalo, Kansas City, the Bengals potentially getting right. I just think those four teams that I ripped off are legitimate competition for the Ravens, as good as I think the Ravens can be. I think they have less upside than the Lions do at this moment. Not a ton, but that's my choice.
Yeah, big win for whoever grabs that this weekend. And again, you love being the home team here for the Baltimore Ravens. We talk about home field advantage. Yeah, the Rams are going to have it this week over the Pittsburgh Steelers. But home field advantage on the Sports Grid Network, if you're watching the TV live there, you see that terrible towel in the background here for Mr. Mike Lewin, a three-point favorite here for the Rams in this game. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, rested and ready, coming off of a bye, getting some of their talented wide receivers back, I think they can win this game outright. Talk to me about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Rams game this weekend, Mike.
Yeah, pretty tricky one, I think. Rams coming off a win, too, against the Arizona Cardinals. Hopefully, the Steelers, as you can see with the terrible towel, hopefully they find a way to be more consistent in their offensive approach. I think we all know the issues with Matt Canada. It's bogging down this offense. Can they keep from slamming Najee Harris into the line of scrimmage on first down 10 times a game? Can they get George Pickens involved in the offense earlier on in the game? And by the way, utilize Jalen Warren. Pat Freiermuth has had some time to rest here. Maybe we get Pat Freiermuth back as well. If Kenny Pickett can keep from throwing those hospital passes to Freiermuth, maybe he can finish a game. But I think they need to be more deliberate in the passing offense. Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, George Pickens, all weapons that they're getting back and healthier. So I do think they have a shot on the road. What the Steelers need to be mindful of against this Rams offense is, and I've talked about this on air with Warren Sharp as well, when the Steelers don't get home and pick up a sack, they are very vulnerable to explosive plays. They have plenty of talent on the defense with Minka and Watt and Highsmith, who's having a defensive player of the year type of year. He's just overshadowed by TJ Watt on the other side. When the Steelers don't get home on the quarterback, they are vulnerable to have yards picked up against them. The good news for the Steelers is the Rams are down to third-string running backs here. So they're going deep into their chart for who's starting at running back. But with Kupp and Nacua, the Steelers have to be careful of that ball control passing offense. If the Rams are getting the ball out quickly and the Steelers aren't able to pick up sacks, that's where they'll lose this game.
Yeah, Williams will be down this weekend, and this is a week that you probably want to play. The Steelers giving up 4.8 yards per carry to opposing teams here, and now you're down a couple running backs, and we'll see if they can certainly make that happen. Quick question for you on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm amazed they're 3-2. Why? I actually expected big things for the Pittsburgh Steelers and to make the playoffs before the season, but they're 3-2, averaging 15.8 yards per game under Matt Canada. Something certainly has to change, and let me just ask you this question. Coming out of the bye, is anything going to change this week with the Pittsburgh Steelers offense?
I'll say no. I'm hopeful, but I've seen enough. I don't know. There were glimpses, Donnie, in the Raiders game. Glimpses of opening it up a little bit, and then what happens? They score 6 points and 17 points, and they scored 17 points because the defense was getting after it. That was not an offensive explosion. Outside of the one George Pickens play that they have a week, what are they really doing? They just need to be more deliberate, like I said, with the passing offense. Let Kenny Pickett fail. I'd rather see that than have Pickett try or have to scramble and come back in a two-minute offense every single week. So I don't expect changes. I still think they can win the game. They're just going to have to really limit what Nacua and Kupp do to them defensively. But probably a lower-scoring game where we're wondering here on Monday why the Steelers haven't changed their offense at all.
Yeah, we quickly saved the best for last for the NFL Sunday, where the Vegas Raiders are going on to take on the Chicago Bears with O'Connell at quarterback and Bagnett in a total of 37.5. Is there even a breakdown, Mike Blewett, for yourself on this football game? This is an NFL game, my gosh.
Brian Hoyer, Tyson Bagent. Get ready, folks. I think we'll see a lot of under tickets placed on this one. We're going to look for some yardage props, perhaps, from some other players that are not the quarterbacks, because they're going to need to get the ball out of their hands quick. I don't know what to think about this game. It will be ugly. The Bears have been uglier than the Raiders have. Max Crosby might pick up 11 sacks in this game. Yeah.
No, he certainly might. And by the way, it's funny you said, like, hey, maybe take a look at a couple props. I scroll over the FanDuel Sportsbook, and I believe they're in the same boat as us, Mike, going like, you know what? I don't even think need to put props up in this game because it doesn't make any sense here. So a total of 37.5, it's in Chicago. I do think the Raiders technically are the better football team here, but who knows what you're getting out of the quarterback position. But apparently anything is better than what you're going to get out of the Chicago Bears at this point here. We're going to flip it over and still talk football because it's a football Friday. But instead of NFL action coming up next, we're going to the college football gridiron. Penn State, Ohio State. Let's get after it. Hold back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We promised you it was a Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network on the early line, and we are delivering big time. A lot of fun had by all here as we cruise through hour number two, but we were talking a lot of NFL, both myself and Mike Blewett. Now it's time to turn it over to college football and a monster game, and I love this. Usually we have to wait around, Mike, 3:30 SEC, 8 o'clock night game to get that premier game. We don't have to wait long on Saturday morning. You're going to be with the college football crew, and it's going to be fantastic to set this game up right away, so let's get into it here. It's Penn State. It's Ohio State. 325, 326 on the rotation. The FanDuel Sportsbook opened this line here, Mike, at a 6.5-point favorite for the home team, the Ohio State Buckeyes. We now see this as a 5.5-point favorite for the Ohio State Buckeyes. A top 10 matchup, which is going to go a long way to determining who is going to win the Eastern Conference there, or the East in the Big Ten. Let's get a breakdown going. What are your thoughts here? Penn State, Ohio State.
I just feel like we're running it back every year. Is this the last few years? Is this the year that Penn State is doing? Is this the year that Penn State can get over the hump? And I just don't, I just get concerned that it's more narrative than it is substance. Do we really think that Penn State is in the same tier as Ohio State and or Michigan? Frankly, is Ohio State or Penn State in the same tier as Michigan this year? Is Michigan that much better than them in 2023? So I just have a lot of concerns about it. Ohio State hasn't been vintage, right? They're not blowing the doors off of teams every week like we've seen in the past. The quarterback play is not the play of a top five pick like we saw last year. So it sort of starts to create this momentum like, maybe Ohio State's not as good. But up and down the roster, Donnie, Ohio State's better than Penn State. Penn State has some standout players, obviously, and they're a good team. I give them a chance. I just feel like this has been a little bit more narrative for me, hoping that Penn State can knock off one of the big dogs as opposed to them actually being able to do it.
No, and you're right about that, because in the past, you take a look at, and quintessential Penn State is on full display last week, 63-0 against UMass. There's no better football team in the country to back when they're 4-touchdown favorites than Penn State. They just don't care about the scoreboard. They keep running their offense and running the scores up, but this has been one of the things under the James Franklin regime. What do you want out of Penn State? Are you a true blue blood that expects to be in the college football playoff and winning national championships, or are you just happy saying, you know what, we're always going to have two losses every year, be competitive, but just not be able to beat Michigan and Ohio State? Looking at this football game, you know, as opposed to the past, this Ohio State team is very talented on defense, yes. We're just missing that Heisman-esque quarterback here because you have some dominant wide receivers, which you always have at Ohio State. If I'm looking at a game objectively, this is the one game that I go into and say, you know what? I really think Penn State can win in the horseshoe this year. This number is under a touchdown here. You know, good quarterback play out of Penn State. I like the direction of the program right now. And in the past, you're right, you'd be looking to this big game and saying, it's got to be Ohio State. It's the only way to go. I actually think Penn State has a legitimate chance to win this football game. Now, coming from a, you know, athletic perspective here, what are you looking at this game total-wise? Because it's crazy to think Ohio and Penn State are at a 45.5-point total here. Is it an automatic over, or, Mike, is it a buyer beware from your side?
And Penn State, they've covered every game this year. They've gone to the over 4 times in these games. But, you know, Iowa, they obviously blanked them 31-0. Iowa not helping at all. And the Buckeyes are 1-5 to the over. So a lot of unders have been played by them so far. I do think the scoring is limited here. You're right in that Penn State just keeps getting after it and keeps running their offense. But I think this is probably going to be the type of game where Penn State could get punched in the mouth, We see a couple of turnovers in this game. I expect the defenses to get after the offenses in a way in this game that I think we can create some turnovers. As we talked about earlier in the show, those types of events during a game lead to less points and probably another under. But 23-20, something like that, it would not surprise me at all if the spread comes into play in this one, with Ohio State getting a short, narrow victory, maybe on a game-winning field goal where they don't cover and Penn State's in it the whole game.
Yeah, welcome to the football season at Big Ten here. Let's take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook odds here to win a national championship in 2024. And a few of those teams there from the Big Ten, are listed up top. Michigan at a plus 270 price, Ohio State at a 9-1 price, and Penn State at a 13-1 price. If we just keep it in the Big Ten here, is it just easy to say Michigan is the top team overall? I've been very hard on Michigan, not because I don't like their performances, but I just don't like who they're playing here. And it seems like their football season doesn't even begin until November. If you're riding with a Big Ten football team, Mike, which Big Ten football team are you going with?
Our same position with Georgia and Michigan? Like, how are we supposed to evaluate you? You're obviously better and more talented than all of the teams that we're playing. Nobody's questioning that. But smashing Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, Rutgers, Bowling Green, UNLV, and East Carolina, none of those teams are even close to being ranked. Now they're playing their blood rival, who also isn't close to being ranked. Purdue, like, we're not seeing anything until the Penn State game. I do think they're the most talented team this year. I think the experience of McCarthy and the rest of the team is vital in a season like this when, frankly, Donnie, at the top of college football right now, it's pretty up for grabs. Nobody can sit here and tell me that they know for certain that Washington is better than North Carolina or that Georgia is better than Michigan. Georgia without Brock Bowers now is better than Michigan. There's a lot at play here. We're going to find out a lot in the next month. And I would take Michigan because I think the experience of last year is going to push them through to win some of these key games late in the season.
Key games in the ACC, Mike Blewett. Who would have thought a key game here in late October would have been Duke and Florida State? Now, the line tells you we don't know how key this game is actually going to be, a 14.5-point favorite for Florida State, and rightfully so. Riley Leonard, we don't know if he's coming back from that high ankle sprain he suffered late in the football game against Notre Dame. They won last week easily over NC State, but obviously NC State and Florida State, the only thing in common is the state on the name. Florida State, a much, much better football team here, a total of 49.5. Does Florida State continue to roll, or does Duke surprise with the upset and get in the driver's seat in the ACC by staying unbeaten in conference play?
I mean, we're either going to have no Riley Leonard or a limited Riley Leonard in this one, yeah. Donnie. I just don't see the way that they can compete. In Florida State has had some hiccup performances, but on the whole, really good team here. And I just don't see Duke keeping this one close. Too many. Obviously, the point spread is where it is because of the unknown status of Riley Leonard. So say he comes out, he's playing, this point, the lines comes down, 4 points, 5 points, 6 points in the favor of Duke, but I still don't think it matters. I think he'd be under duress trying to be out against a team like Florida State with Jared Verse chasing him down, trying to make plays. I think he'd be at risk of being injured again. If I'm Duke and he's questionable, I think you give him another week and you live to fight another day. But it is desperation times for Duke to try to stay in the mix in the ACC.
Yeah, shout out to state of North Carolina. If anybody's going to be able to knock off Florida State from the ACC crown here, it's not going to probably be, South Carolina's Clemson, but it will be either North Carolina with Drake May or obviously Duke if Riley Leonard does come back, and Mike Elko's done a fabulous job with that Duke Blue Devils program. We'll see where that winds up. Let's head down to the SEC from the ACC. That's Tennessee and Alabama. Rotation number 399-400. It's a 3:30 kickoff here, the SEC game of the day. Alabama looking to get revenge back from last year's performance on the road in a high-scoring tilt, which Tennessee won, flooded the field, smoked a lot of cigars, celebrated by throwing the goalpost into the river, and away they go with a game that they hopefully want to be competitive in, but finally got over the edge last year against Nick Saban and the Tide. This year, though, Alabama is the home team and favored by 8.5 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a total listed at 48.5. Can Joe Milton go in and battle Jalen Milroe and come away with a victory, or at least a cover in your mind, Mike?
If there's Nick Saban is very good at many things related to college football. But I think the masterstroke that he has, and this is a Bill Belichick trick too, is motivating his teams when an event like this has happened in the past. These guys stole your national championship from you last year. You couldn't even make the playoff because we went up there and let Tennessee drop 50 on us. I don't see Tennessee winning this game. I do have concerns, obviously, like everybody does, about Alabama's offensive consistency or inconsistency in this instance. But I do not see Joe Milton going on the road and getting this W. No chance. I think this is all Alabama. I think you can question their offense and still understand that they're going to... The revenge narrative is obviously overplayed on a lot of shows like this. You and I don't generally buy into it all that much. But in these unique instances where Nick Saban is the one that's been telling these guys that this team stole your opportunity to compete for a national championship, I think it's all Bama on Saturday.
I think most people forget already, like, Alabama's been wiped off the face of the earth in college. Like, oh, there's no chance they can win. They're unbeaten in the SEC right now. And they're playing football like they used to play in the early 2000s. And if they beat Tennessee here, away they go. So all is not lost for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, I'm going to ask you a question about this. Is all lost for the USC Trojans after their pitiful effort against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish last week? They're going to take on Utah. This line opened up at 2.5 and has ballooned to 7 points here. Is this a great bounce-back spot for USC? Or is last week a precursor to what we're going to see down the stretch with the Trojans?
Donnie, if there was one lock going into the college football season this year, it was that the Pac-12 would end up eating each other alive.
Chaos.
It happens every year. Or Washington knocks off Oregon. Somebody's going to knock off Washington. USC gets bumped off. And what can happen here? Can Utah and USC, who's left standing? One of these teams is going to kill the other team's season tomorrow. So it's just a matter of whether or not you think Caleb can bounce back. Utah has obviously given USC fits just a year ago. They did. I don't know what USC's defense, how they can hold up against Utah. That's going to be the key matchup. I think Caleb will get his yards. I don't think you see another bad performance or him being under duress like he was at Notre Dame. Just can USC's defense not be in a situation like they were last year, scoring in the 40s against Utah. I like USC, but I like them with a small L. I think they get the W, and Utah's season is sort of toast.
If we're talking about small, we're talking about totals of this next football game in the Big Ten. And in honor of Ben Stevens, who probably woke up this morning and saw a 30.5 total for a football game at college, not the first half total, the full game total. I don't know what we're watching. Your eyes might not make it to the end of the football game and might be laying in basically acidic grease on the floor, because watch this game and buyer beware. 30.5, Minnesota, Iowa. Do they get over the total here, Mike? Please tell me they get over this total.
I'm not sure with that total being so low where you're obligated to bet it under just for the beauty of potentially hitting an under 30.5, or you're obligated to bet it over because there's no possible way you can go into a game expecting less than 31 points. I'm torn on it.
I don't even understand how, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you're telling me right now, if, you know, PJ Flex, offensive coordinator, I don't even know if he's running the offense or calling the plays. And the same thing with Ferentz. If you have a game that you have a 30.5, don't you, before the game, fire both of your offensive coordinators, because clearly it's not working out here. And what, 3 yards in a cloud of dust this weekend? I have no idea what to expect, but the fact that a college football game, non-service academy, two Division I scholarship opponents going after each other with a 30.5 point total, make it make sense. Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't make it make sense. You know what will make sense next year? Fading the public. Is the public right? Is the public wrong? I don't even know the poll, but I'm going to find out as well as you are next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network, and guess what? We're winding down hour number two, but just for you guys, we're going to go in hour number three today and continue to talk Major League Baseball, NFL action, and college football. But you know, if you don't catch the show, you say, you know what? I'm running short on time here. I can't tune in. Go to the Sports Grid app here. It's easy to download any of the marketplaces you'll find this at. I have an Android phone, which is the best phone, over the iPhone. That's what I use here. If you want five-star plays, if you want information and everything up to date with what's going on with your favorite host, it's a Sports Grid app. So easy to download and use. It's a fantastic opportunity so you can save time this weekend and know exactly what you need to know. All right, let's move forward here. Fade the public poll, Mike Blewett. Today's question, who is the best team in the NFL? And before we get there, we have a snappy stinger here to throw in just to let you know what's coming down the line. Brilliant there. Hey, by the way, but do you like the stinger there, Mike Blewett? Do you think you like that?
I like the,
get down with that.
I like the fact that you highlighted this. I like the fact that you highlighted stinger itself. It's important for the audience to know the amount of work and creativity that goes into stingers like that to ensure that we're highlighting this incredible segment.
Exactly. Some people are probably riding their or walking on the treadmill right now. If you don't know that stinger's coming, you might get blown right off. Like, whoa, that's, right. That's too much information right that's there. Right. Fantastic stuff, of course. But let's get to the questions at hand. Who is the best NFL team? There's four options on this board, Mike Blewett. The 49ers, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and other, which means anybody outside of the 49ers, Chiefs, and Eagles. For you, would you be fading the public? And who do you think is the best team in the NFL?
I would love to fade the public and say the Lions, but honestly, I do think the Niners are the best team. And just, you have to wonder about their upside with Purdy at quarterback. That's the concern. Are the Lions a better overall team long term? I think it's arguable. The Eagles are not.
Yeah,
right
we got to. Yeah, we got to break this down in much, much more in hour number three coming up in just a few moments. I'm going to tell you why it's the Philadelphia Eagles. Is it any surprise? Your boy DRS is going to tell you that. Hour number three coming up next right here on The Grid.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.